studied for several weeks about Father's Day and looked at many different fathers in the Bible throughout the Scriptures. And there's a lot of fathers mentioned in the Bible. And we could study about the problems they had and the mistakes they've made and the things they should have done and didn't do and did things they wasn't supposed to and all of those things. But as I studied, I kept coming back to God the Father. He is the perfect example for what fathers should be, for parents should be. And then as you study the Father, you study the Son, as the song says. The old saying, the apple don't fall far from the tree. You know, those type of things they say. But the mold can always be broken if you have a Heavenly Father. Sometimes the mold doesn't need to be broken. Sometimes it does. But as I studied, I run across a phrase in the Bible, Abba Father. A-B-B-A. Abba Father. Well, what I really found interesting was that is only used three times in the whole Bible. Abba Father. We're going to look at those and we're going to see what Abba Father means. Our first reference is going to be in Mark chapter 14. It's in Mark, Romans, and Galatians. But Mark chapter 14, verse 36. Jesus used this phrase as he was in the garden praying. Remember, after the Last Supper, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane where he prayed to Jesus, his Father, where he was arrested and taken to custody. He prayed there in the garden, not my will, but thy will be done. He prayed there in the garden three different times. Well, Mark has an account of something that Jesus said that it doesn't have in the other Gospels. Mark presents Jesus as the servant to mankind. It has Abba Father. 14 and 36 in the Gospel of Mark. Well, let's get up to verse 35 so we can get it in context. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that it were possible the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we just thank you for what you've given us. God, we just thank you for your precious word. God, we just thank you for how you preserved this holy word for us here today to open up and see the great wonders that you have for us and how your Spirit moved through all ages. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when you run across a situation like this, one of the places to go to Strong's or to a dictionary. Well, this is a Chaldean word that means father. In Hebrew, sometimes it's just spelled A-B. It's a father, a figurative, or a superior. According to Webster's 1828. Now, if this word was literally translated for us today, this would say, Father, Father. But this word was not translated into Father. It was transcribed over just in the original language that it was. Abba. And I thought, man, that is interesting. And listen, there's so much I've got on my heart, I don't know if I can get it all across. But listen, this Bible that we have, the old King James Bible that we use, I truly believe is a preserved Word of God for us today. It is a holy preserved Word of God for us today. The men that God used to transcribe this Bible and give it to us in the English-speaking language, which there's a whole other reason behind all that, but we don't have time to go all into all of that right now. These men were led by the Spirit of God as to what words to use. Because, as you know, when you translate from one language to another language, many times it takes two or three words to say one word in another language. What is tango in Spanish? I have. Right? Tenemos. We have. Right? Well, in English we have to have two words to say that. In Spanish there's only one word. Well, the we and the I and the you would be the italicized words to explain the verb tense. That's why some of your words are italicized in your Bible, King James Bible. Well, what is conocer? What is saber? See, to know. See, they're both the same word. One is to know and one is to know. One is to know about something. One is to know someone. But you can't, you got to put, if you're going to translate that in English, you got to have some more words in there. Well, they didn't. God did not lead them to say, Abba. God did not lead them to say, Father, Father. They translated the word Father into Father. But they left Abba, Abba. For a reason. For a reason. Because everything in the Bible is there for a reason. And when you study the Bible and you see these things, I mean, big question marks all flash through your mind. You ought to have all of these things running through your mind and trying to figure out what the message is that God has given us here. Well, if you go to the dictionary and you look up this Abba, you come up with another word. I think I'm not saying it right. Phila? F-I-L-I-A-L? Phila? Delilah, F-I-L-I-A-L. That is a type of love. A type of love. But that is the type of love that only a child can have for their parent. That kind of love is not known or available or attainable by anyone that is not a sibling of that parent. It cannot be achieved. When Jesus used Abba, Father, He is saying, you are my Father. You are the one that has raised me. You are the one that birthed me, sired me, give me my blood. You are the one that has trained me and taught me and brought me up. Now, remember Mary and Joseph? Joseph was his stepfather. Joseph was his legal father as far as the courts are concerned, in the legal system. But God was his real father. Born of the Virgin Mary. So, when he says, Abba, Father, he's saying, Daddy, I know you love me. I've seen your love displayed throughout my whole life. I know you are the one that trained me. I know you are the one that's responsible for me being here. I know you're the one that gives me the breath of life. I know you are my Father. Now, many times through things that happen in the world, someone that raises the child may not be the paternal father. Maybe they died, maybe they're divorced, or maybe whatever. But to raise that child from when they're little. Well, that is the one that that child looks to in their adult age as really their father. Because they're the one that played the role of the father. They're the ones that did the things that a father does. It's like the story of the mother that sends her children off to the daycare. And mom comes to pick them up. Well, the kid gets hurt. He goes to the daycare worker, not to mama. Because that's the one that's been raising him. So, when Jesus... Now, stop and think about where Jesus is at when he's saying this. He is in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is right before he gets arrested. This is late into the night, wee hours of the morning. He is going to be arrested before sunrise. He's going to have three trials before sunrise. He's going to have three other trials after sunrise. Before 9 o'clock in the morning of that very day, he is going to be hanging on the cross. Jesus, also being God, he knows this. He knows what is happening. He knows why he's there. He knows what's going on. But remember, he got his flesh from Mary. The flesh does not want to die. The flesh does not want to hurt. He got hungry. He got tired. His feet got dirty. All those things because he was in the flesh. But he kept the flesh under control, away from sin, because of prayer and because who the other 100% of him was, God. Part of the Trinity. But he knows what's going to be happening. The crucifixion is one of the most cruelest deaths that can be done by one human on another human. It is the worst. More than any all this other torturing and all those things they've been talking about on the news, this is the worst type of execution that one human can put on another human. There was no mercy there. There was no ACLU there. There was no have to put them to sleep before you give them the poisoning injection. There was no making sure that the electricity kills them the first time, that the gas kills them. There was none of that stuff. The hangman wasn't there to make sure the noose was right and it was tight and it would snap their neck. There was none of those mercy things there. Sometimes it took several days for them to die. As they bled to death and suffered and exposure and hypothermia, all those things that happened. Very excruciating death. Jesus knew what the cross was and he knew what he was facing. But he also knew that he was going to be taking all the sins of the whole world upon him. Something we can't comprehend. He knew what was coming. He knew what was going to happen. And the flesh did not want to go through that. But the Spirit did. And he said, Abba, Father, please. If it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but thy will be done. Why? Because he was his Abba Father. More than he was God. More than he was the creator. More than he was the sustainer of everything. More than he gave him breath. More than he put the stars in the space. More than he made that womb that brought him forth into this world. More than any of that, he was also his daddy. And he trusted him and he knew he would do the very best and he would knew that he would do the right thing. He knew that God would do the right thing because he was his papa. He was his Abba Father. He was his daddy. He was the one that had been with him from creation. They were very close. They were very close. So he's saying, I know who you are, and I also know your Father, Father of all creation. I know you're my Father. And whatever you want to do, that's what I'll do. That is the love that Jesus had for His Father, and that is the love that the Father had for Jesus. And the only ones that can really say, Abba, Father, is the ones that is really your Father. One has raised you and nurtured you and taught you. Sometimes in this world today, there is no person to fill that role. Sometimes in this world, you may have had parents, but they weren't a father. Maybe they wasn't a mother there. Maybe they were there, but they didn't fulfill the role. All kinds of things happen today. Maybe they died. Maybe they divorced. Maybe they just weren't there. Whatever. All kinds of things happen. Sometimes we don't have that character in our life to relate to. But we have God. We have God who fulfilled all of those places, did all of those things. Well, I want us to look at the next place in the Bible where Abba, Father, is used. And that's in Romans chapter 8. Now listen. This is where it really gets good. This is where it comes home. This is where it strikes right here in your own heart. Here in Romans chapter 8. Remember, only the ones that can use this phrase here. In Romans chapter 8. Verse 14. Romans 8, 14. For as many are as led by the Spirit of God, notice the capital S, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Hey, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And look at that verse. The first spirit in 16 is capitalized. The second spirit in 16 is not capitalized. The first spirit is referring to the Holy Spirit. The second spirit is referring to the spirit that's in you. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Listen, we can say Abba, Father. We can claim Him as our Father, Abba, Father. We can claim Him as our Papa. We can claim Him as our Daddy. If you're saved, because why? You have been born again by the blood of the King, and you are a blood-bought heir born of God, and your birth is just as real as the birth of Jesus Christ. When you got born again, the blood of God flowed through the veins of Jesus. The blood of God washes away your sins, and because of that, you are adopted. You are a son of God. You're joint heirs. You're part of the family. You can say Papa. You can say Abba. You can say Abba, Father, because He is your Father. He sired you. He brought you to life. He gave you birth. He made you alive. You were dead in your trespasses on the way to hell. The blood of God gave you life and made you a new creature. And you became born again. You became belonging to God. You can say, Abba, Father. He's my Father. He raised me. He brought me. He birthed me. He's training me. He's raising me. And He's going to do the very best for me. And He's mine. And He's there. And He's always going to be there. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Can you say Abba, Father? Or is He just the man upstairs? Look at your Bible here. Verse 14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, capital S, the Holy Spirit of God, proper noun, they are the sons of God. John 1:12. You are adopted into His family. Many as received into Him, gave Him power to become the sons of God. You belong to God if you're saved. Corinthians, you're bought with a price. We have not received this. We have, in verse 15, for you have not received that spirit of bondage, of sin, of the world, small s, again to fear, but you received the Spirit, capital S, of adoption. The Holy Spirit dwells in your heart as a Christian. He adopted you into God's family. You belong to God, and that Spirit in capital S, in the next verse, bears witness with your spirit, your soul that dwells in you, because they're dwelling together. Your Holy Spirit and God's Spirit communicate together and bring your prayers up before the throne of God with groanings and utterings that cannot be spoken. As a Christian, you have every right to say, Abba, Father. Because your earthly father will die someday. Maybe you'll be together in heaven, maybe you won't. Maybe you had a good father, maybe you didn't have a good father. I don't know. But I'm telling you one thing, you've got a father that you will have for an eternity. And He fulfills every attribute, characteristic of what a true father is. A true father loves you no matter what you do. A true father wants the very best for you. A true father will do anything he can within his power so that you will have the very best. A true father chastises and disciplines and brings you back in where you've got off the path, just as God does. A true father loves. A true father knows you. A true father is always there. And God fulfills all of those, because He is the perfect example of what a father should be. And He's the only perfect one. But that don't give you an excuse not to do the best you can. Well, that was good, but the next one's better. Let's go over to Galatians chapter 4. This just gets, I mean, you start looking at this stuff in the Bible, and when you only find something two or three times in the Bible, you better get your concordance out or whatever and check it out and see what's going on. When I saw this, I says, whoa! I mean, the Bible, there are no contradictions in this word anywhere. It is holy, preserved, true Word of God. And as you delve into it and dig out the jewels in it, you'll just be amazed at the things that's there. Now look here in Galatians, chapter 4, verse 4. Galatians 4, 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, capital S, made of woman, made under the law. Verse 5. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now I want you to see something here in the middle of verse 6. He has sent forth what? The Spirit of His Son. The S is capitalized, as well as the word S on son is capitalized, making them a what? Proper noun. Referring to a person's name. an individual person. There is only one Holy Spirit. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are three, but they are one. They have three different offices or positions or duties, but they're all one, and you can't separate one from the other, because if you separate it, then you don't have a Trinity anymore, and you don't have God anymore. It is as well as is the Spirit of God, as it is the Spirit of the Son. S-O-N. Now, why was it that Jesus could cry, Abba, Father, in Mark? Because he was his daddy. He was the one that inspired him. He was the one that raised him. Why could we say Abba, Father, in Romans? Because he is the one that gave us the new birth and made us a child of the King, joint heirs with Christ, because we are born again. Just as you was born of your mother, you're born of God when you get saved, because you're washed in the blood. The blood is what gives the birth. What do they do when they candle an egg? They look for the little blood. The blood is the first thing. The blood gives the birth. You were born by the blood of Jesus. New birth. Well, because he is the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, he could cry, Abba, Father. The same Spirit that made him the Son is the same Spirit that's in you. You see that? The Spirit of the Son? Do you see that? The Son. The Spirit of his Son. God's Son. Jesus could say Abba Father because he's his Son. We can say Abba Father because we have the same Spirit that lived in Jesus, that lives in you, because there is only one Spirit, and that Spirit where it lives in your hearts, in your soul, that is the same Spirit that he said, Father, into thy hands do I commend my spirit, when he gave up the ghost and died on the cross. That is the same Spirit that entered back into him on the day of resurrection, when he come up out of the tomb. That is the same Spirit that it gives you when you get saved, that you will be a power unto me and be able to witness unto me. It's all the same Spirit. It is the quickening Spirit. It is the Spirit that gives life. It is the Spirit that gives us life, and it is the Spirit that Jesus had dwelling in him, and it is the same Spirit that dwells in the hearts of the believer. Therefore, you have double reason to say, Abba, Father. Because not only you are born of him, but you also have the same Spirit in you that Jesus had. And only a sired heir can say, Abba. Abba. Do you have that kind of relationship with God? Maybe you didn't realize what you had. But is God that real in your life? Is God as real in your life as you know that you were born? Now, how do you know that you were born? How do you know they didn't find you in the cabbage patch or some stork bring you over? How do you know that? Common sense. You are here, breathing, alive, touching. I can feel you. You make warmth. You're alive. You're born, huh? You've been born, huh? They didn't find a rock laid out on the sand and some sun hatched it or anything like that. You were born. You're real. You're alive. And there's no way that I can convince you that you weren't born. There's no way that I can convince you that that's not the way you got here. Your mama didn't go out in a cabbage patch and open up a head of cabbage and find a little baby, huh? Some stork didn't come flopping over with some holding in its mouth and drop you in a cradle or down the chimney or something, huh? There's no way that I could convince you that you came from an egg. That somebody dropped out on the sand somewhere and the sun come along and hatched it and there you are. I can't convince you of that, can I? I cannot talk you out of being born. Even the evolutionists know you came from a womb. Even though they got all the rest of it messed up. You know why I can't talk you out of it? Because you're here. And I know I'm alive because I can feel myself. When I pinch, it hurts. When I cut, I bleed. When I get tired, I know I'm alive. Is your salvation that real? Is your salvation that real? How many of you remember when you came out of that womb? Nobody, huh? Well, how do you know it's real? How do you know it's real? Well, I got this piece of paper that says I was born in... Well, they just put those on the computer. What do you mean? How do you know you're real? How do you know? Because I'm here. I breathe. I feel. I have emotions. How do you know that you're born of the Spirit of the Son? And His Spirit and your Spirit say, Abba, Father. Because it's just as real. It's just as real. Nobody is ever going to be able to convince me that I'm not saved. Nobody can convince me that I'm not saved. You know why? Because something in here tells me. His Spirit and my Spirit can say, Abba, Father. It's an old song I got on a 33 and a third record. If God is dead, then who's this living in my soul? I know it. I don't remember all the details about when I asked Jesus to save me, but I remember it. And I know that there was a time in my life that I realized that I was not saved. I heard the preaching from an old Baptist preacher. It was in Alpine, Texas. And he was up there preaching away. And I realized I wasn't saved. I was 5 or 6 years old. I realized I wasn't saved. I went down in the invitation and I went up front and I talked to the preacher. Well, my parents said, well, I thought you already was saved. Because I said a little prayer with the youth kids one time. I says, no, I'm not. And they said, okay. And I don't remember what happened after that. But I remember later on, the preacher coming and talking to me. Then I remember going and getting baptized after I got saved. I remember taking my clothes in one of them little night cases that the women had, the little suitcase. You know, a little old hardback square suitcase. Open it up. It's got a mirror in the lid. You know, all that kind of. I remember taking my change of clothes in that and how it smelled like my grandmother's perfume. And I was all embarrassed because I was a guy taking a suitcase that smelled like a woman with my change of clothes in it. And that's what I remember. When I went back to Alpine, I went down there and looked at the church and I found when I was baptized. So back somewhere before that, a few days is when I got saved. But you know, that's not how I know I'm saved. You know how I know I'm saved? Because my Spirit and Jesus' Spirit, Abba, Father. That's how I know I'm saved. Because I know I feel Him in here. I feel Him talking to me. I feel Him burdening me. I don't do what I'm supposed to. No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying He's working on me. I'm sure glad He hadn't quit and gave up. You know why? Because He's Abba Father. And He loves me just like I am in spite of myself. Somebody says, oh, you and the Miss Key, you guys are perfect. And I says, you only see us on Sunday. We're not perfect. You only see us on Sunday. Somebody told us that one time. Says, yeah, you don't know what's going on. But I know I'm saved because of who dwells in here. Fathers, we have the greatest example of all in the Scriptures. We have the highest standard of all in the Scriptures. And this is our guide. But you cannot follow the guide until you know the Father. There hasn't been a time in your life that Jesus became that real to you, then you can't say, Abba, Father. You can't say, Our Father who art in heaven. You can't say, the Lord is my shepherd. Because He's not. Oh, He wants to be. But you've got to realize you need Him. You've got to realize you don't have Him. You got to let Him be your Father and take charge of your life. I'd like you to stand to your feet. We're going to have a time of invitation. We're going to invite you to get a daddy. We're going to invite you to know God as your Savior. If you don't know this, if it's not that real in your life, then make this the day that you become a son of God. Dear Jesus, we just ask that You'll take these holy Scriptures, these great miracles of Your Bible, the great things in Your Scriptures, and that You apply into people's hearts, and that today, if they don't know You as their personal Lord and Savior, that today will be their day of salvation. And the fathers and the mothers and the parents and the grandparents, that they will strive to follow the model of Abba Father in their lives. We ask for these things in the name of Jesus. Well, Mary-